WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. President Trump has announced a new tariff agreement with Japan.
We worked on it long and hard, and it's a great deal for everybody.
It calls for a 15% tariff on Japanese exports to the U.S. instead of the threatened 25. Portions of the U.S. are in for 100-degree feels-like temps again today. Meteorologist Craig Allen.
It is quite possible that the risk of extreme heat will continue into next week still across portions of the central United States, the central and lower Mississippi Valley, and all the way on down into the southeast.
New York prosecutors say a Long Island man has been indicted after he placed homemade bombs on apartment building rooftops with a plan to set them off. CBS New York's Elijah Westbrook.
They're alleging that 55-year-old Michael Gann had created at least 7 IEDs.
Officials say he made them with chemicals he purchased online. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
WAUK News brought to you by the Summer Splash Dog Show at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to July 27th. Fun for the whole family. WaukeshaSummerSplash.com.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The National Weather Service says it could feel as hot as 107 during this extreme heat watch. It runs through tonight. Savannah Tome Olson has more about the impact.
Dew points are high, so the humidity is high, too. It's so humid. When you walk out the door, the air just kind of hits you like a wall. Health officials recommend staying in air-conditioned environments as much as possible today and tomorrow. Drink tons of water and look out for those around you. Kids, seniors, and people with some chronic conditions can be at higher risk for heat-related illnesses. Symptoms of heat exhaustion include getting weak, dizzy, nauseous, and really sweaty. And if it worsens, it could turn into heat stroke. Someone may be confused and even pass out. The UV index is also really high today, so if you have to be outside, you'll want to wear sunscreen.
Again, the extreme heat warning runs through tonight. We'll have the latest coming up in the forecast. Authorities are still searching for a shirtless man who attempted to enter the Milwaukee home of State Representative Priscilla Prado Monday night. Surveillance footage shows the man, about 6 foot tall and in his late 30s or early 50s with blonde hair, trying the door before walking around the property. Police say the rep and her family are safe. They're asking the public to share any tips. High-tech medical training is coming to the area. Waukesha County Technical College is launching a new virtual reality lab for its nursing program to help train more nurses amid a growing shortage. It's funded by a $350,000 state grant, and the lab will let students practice hands-on skills in a lifelike VR setting. It's set to open next spring. The effort joins other local schools like Carthage College and Marquette, which are also expanding nursing programs. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
The Packers open camp. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the Packers training camp got started this morning. Competition for jobs on the roster. Rashid Walker knows he'll be competing for his job, even though he was the starting left tackle all last season.
You know, the NFL, we have a long offseason, so I've been itching to just get back and just, you know, prove myself once again. I feel like that mindset could be contagious to the rest of the team. And, you know, if everybody's clicking on the same page, I feel like we can do great things this year.
Baseball. The Brewers losing to the Mariners in Seattle 1-0. Cal Raleigh with his 39th home run of the season. He leads the major leagues. Pat Murphy asked, why did he pull his starting pitcher, the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, out of the game halfway through the fourth inning?
The kid knows we've got his best interests in mind, and we're going to try to do everything we can to keep him away from any situations that could lead to overuse or putting him in danger of exposing himself or getting hurt.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
It is going to be partly cloudy, hot, and humid today. Our high right around 92 this afternoon. The heat index 100 or better later today. Tonight, 77. Tomorrow, sunshine in the morning. Scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon. Still hot and muggy with a high of 92. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
Bring the whole family to the Waukesha Kennel Club Summer Splash Dog Shows at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds,
July 25th to 27th. Enjoy exciting events like dock diving, fast cat racing, obedience, and the thrilling Best of Show competition. It's fun for all ages. Check out the vendors and find the best pet supplies for your furry friends. It's the perfect weekend for dog lovers and families alike. Sponsored by Royal Canin at 540 AM WAUK. Visit WaukeshaSummerSplash.com for all the details.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll be talking about the University of Wisconsin system and K-12 public education with Trigvi Olsen as guest host, State Senator Keller Royce, and Reed Galen. Join them.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back. 7:06. Nice to have you here. Broadcasting today and tomorrow from Civic Media HQ in Madison, along with Parker Olson, and right here in Madison Studio A2. Here's visual proof for folks watching on social media. This room really is big enough for the two of us.
Not by much.
But not by much at all. In fact, we could not possibly fit meteorologist Brittany Merlot in here, which is fine because she is in Oshkosh. She is roughing it in the elements. And Brittany, I've looked at the radar long enough to know the elements are headed your way. How are you?
Yes, they are. Good morning, everyone. I am fantastic so far. Woke up to a text alert here at Oshkosh EAA AirVenture saying, hey, listen up. We've got rain headed here. It's going to be starting around 7 a.m., lasting for about 3 hours or so. So that's what we've got here. We're still under the heat advisory as well, but a good chunk of the state from Eau Claire to Green Bay and everyone south is under that heat advisory today. We are climbing to the mid-80s to mid-90s, and it's going to be feeling like 100 to 105 degrees today. So we've got a lot of things going on. We've already got the warm front moving in, rain rolling through a good chunk of the southern half of the state. Nothing severe, but a few power outages caused from it. I'm not seeing any high wind reports just yet, but a lot of lightning strikes with this rain that rolls through. And it's kind of got a cool front as it moves in. It's like that shelf cloud, that spaceship look as it comes into the area. So that's what I woke up to this morning. Little bit of light drizzle, and now it's just cloudy and starting to get a little bit humid. So we've got chances of rain this morning, a little break in the afternoon, but I do think these strong to severe storms are going to start to spark up around 2 o'clock, far northwest Wisconsin. Some of those, of course, could be strong to severe. And then the line builds around 6 p.m. and works its way through the northern part of the state. It kind of fizzles out as it moves south. So the tornado threat is going to be just north of Wausau into Hayward, Eau Claire, Rhinelander area this afternoon. And high wind threat kind of stretches a little bit further south and towards La Crosse and just north of Green Bay. But of course, areas throughout the entire state down in Milwaukee and Madison, you could still see some high winds and some heavy downpours with this system moving in. It's going to be a pretty big line later on this evening. So round one isn't too bad, but round two is going to get much worse.
Well, and round one, I mean, it's nothing to shake a stick at watching it go through the Madison area. I was not aware that it was coming when it was getting ready in my spacious palatial hotel room in the Madison suburbs today. And then just as I opened up the curtains to get set to walk out for the day, I see it's just starting to pour. I'm thinking, if only I had looked at Brittany's notes a little earlier, I would have known to get out of the hotel earlier. But anyway, I stole this towel from the hotel room. I'm good. I'm covered.
I gotta cover your head.
Gotta remember to bring that back. And you take care out there as well. You got all kinds of people. You got gear. You got weather coming your way. So, and then by the way, you're gonna be taking tomorrow and Friday just as personal days to continue to enjoy all that, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yes. I know it's going to be pretty crazy weather, so I'm going to have to be staying dry myself, and I want to get in there and have some fun. So I will be back on Monday.
Oh, no, that is just fine. Robin Tigerton asks, did you do any flying at the EAA yet?
Not yet. See, this is why I needed some PTO. I'm going to get out there and social media. That's where I'll have all those videos for you guys.
Oh, that's fabulous. He says, good morning from Tigerton. Partly cloudy and 70 degrees yesterday. Mowed 5 yards in Tigerton. No mowing today because he has a doctor's appointment. He said, when I was a kid, I remember some of the hottest days of the year. We'd be baling hay or in high school at the beginning of football practice. We played Alison Krauss in our last segment and said his favorite song is When You Say Nothing at All. And, of course, notes the heat advisory is basically the Highway 29 corridor and south. I mean, it is a big old chunk of the state that's going to be both hot and stormy today. So we can no longer say you haven't been warned. Brittany was here to tell you, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You guys stay cool, stay hydrated, and stay safe tonight.
Exactly. You as well. We'll talk to you a little later. Thanks, Brittany.
Thank you.
All right. As always, we'd love to have you as a subscriber to our Up North News daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, and we have a Sunday morning newsletter that focuses more on the political news of the day, including a question of the week about early advertising. And if you see early advertising from somebody trying to build their name ID, does that make you respect their initiative, or does it turn you off to have such early political ads running this far in advance of a campaign? Again, you can always send us a note, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, to send an email. You can also, of course, text us through the Civic Media app, or you can send us a voice note. Just use that voice note feature when you call up one of the stations on the Civic Media app. Put a little recording on there, and we may play it here on air. Well, the Brewers' 11-game win streak came to an end. It did not go to 12 games. There will not be free hamburgers unless you head over to Parker's place. He likes to grill. He'll make you up a little something as you, cry in your beer about the Brewers not being able to reach that 12-game plateau. They lost 1-0 to the Seattle Mariners on a Cal Raleigh home run. It was... You know, it ended not with a bang, but a whimper, I guess you could say, the 11-game winning streak.
Yeah, not as bad of a whimper as the Phillies won the other day. Did you see this? They won on a catcher's interference.
Yeah.
That is the saddest win I think I've ever seen.
It is, but I mean, it is what it is. I mean, catchers can't put your mitt there where they can swing the bat, so don't do it with the bases loaded. It'll bite you, as it did. But the Brewers lose, but they will wrap up that series in Seattle this afternoon. Pregame starts at 2 o'clock on several Civic Media stations, 205 to be specific, for that game, and then the Brewers are off tomorrow. And then they start a three-game series Friday at home against the Marlins, and then the Cubs come to town next Monday. So when I mentioned Bill Berrien, the candidate for governor, running ads early, it's because he's got to build up his name ID. He's not an elected official. Other elected officials don't have to worry about that. They don't have to spend money yet. In fact, they can raise more money right now as a result. And that takes us to Tom Tiffany and headlines, including one in the Milwaukee Journal, that read, Congressman Tom Tiffany teases a run for Wisconsin governor, but says he hasn't made up his mind. Okay, that's fine, but he put signs out there when we talk about teasing. Like he recently tweeted out a photo of himself, you know, holding a crappie and saying that all future Wisconsin gubernatorial candidates must prove they know how to hold a fish. And he, of course, says, purchased the website domain name TomTiffanyForGovernor.com, which leads directly to his congressional campaign site. The homepage labels Tiffany, quote, a proven conservative for Wisconsin. You know, not northern Wisconsin. He's got the whole state lumped in there. And when asked by the Journal Sentinel, Tiffany told the newspaper he'd make his decision, quote, after July. Now, of course, he's not the only candidate who might yet run still. There is State Senate President Mary Felskowski. There's former Senate candidate Eric Hovde. There's former Senate candidate, Governor candidate Tim Michaels, and Tiffany as well. In putting those signs out there, what is it that we're supposed to read into this? Well, As somebody who's been involved in this little game, let me explain the game. Fundraising is no fun. There's nobody that puts the fun in fundraising, despite the old joke. It is a long, hard slog of asking people to support your campaign because you're the candidate that best reflects their values and who wants to get things done. And so you sit there hour after hour after hour, either making phone calls or attending fundraisers or planning fundraisers, because this is the system that we have right now to raise funds to be a viable candidate. So how could you gin up that fundraising? What could juice up the donors a little bit? Well, one of those ways would be to get people excited that you are looking at bigger and better things coming up ahead. And as much as I love to tell people that you should not lump both parties together, you know, the both sides do it, both parties do it about a lot of things, this ain't one of them. This is one where both parties very much look for anything that provides a fundraising edge. And if that includes teasing a potential run that you're probably not going to make, but it gets some people excited, well, chances are you're going to put that out there. And I have seen people from both parties do this over the years. And I would not call it wrong. I would not call it even unethical. I would call it an unfortunate part of the fundraising landscape that's out there. We have had members of Congress from both parties who have multiple times teased a potential run for governor or a potential run for U.S. Senate, and or they just don't deny the rumors that are out there that they're thinking about running. And then when you look at their next campaign finance report, well, gosh, did they ever get a nice boost from people who thought, you know, that person might make a nice governor, or that person might make a nice senator. And it's just one of, you know, many tactics that are out there that Tony on YouTube best describes with the words money, 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 money. Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's not easy. It's something where you're looking for whatever will give you just that little bit of extra bounce. And in Tom Tiffany's case, it's that. Now, he may actually want to run for governor. He may be serious about it. All I'm saying is that he has absolutely no reason right now to tell you, no, I don't want to be governor. I'm perfectly happy where I am right now. He's in a district that he can get elected in over and over again. He can lob all the spitballs and verbal grenades that he wants at Democrats, knowing that he is safe. But if he had to run for governor, well, then he would have to defend some of the things about his record as a member of Congress, as a member of the state Senate. He would have to face questions beyond northern Wisconsin about why he wants to, dig up or bulldoze northern Wisconsin. This is the person who led the charge to get rid of the mining moratorium, the rules that said if you want to open a mine in Wisconsin, here's what you have to do. You have to prove that you have operated a mine somewhere else and closed it. And for years afterwards, you did not pollute the groundwater. If you've done those things, then you are welcome to apply to open a mine in northern Wisconsin. But if you can't do that, all evidence shows you're likely to pollute and harm the environment in northern Wisconsin. So no, thank you. But that law's not on the books anymore because of, as he's nicknamed up there, Toxic Tom Tiffany. And he has consistently been on the side of development and extraction and anything that would make the Northwoods a little bit less than what it is. Mary Felskowski, if she runs for governor, will be in that same vein of trying to tell people, you know, why it is that they want to pave paradise and put up a parking lot. But until that happens, Senate President Felskowski, Congressman Tiffany, and others can continue to let their voters know that they're intrigued by the idea. They're exploring the idea of running for governor. Then once they announce, well, the fundraising starts all over again, and they will have lost, you know, the edge that they're building right now while they're continuing to let the rumor mill do its thing. And it is really doing its thing right now until Governor Tony Evers makes an announcement one way or another. A local update is coming up next for some of you. And then when we're all back together in about 15 minutes, we are going to talk about declining enrollment and the reduction in state funding. Live here on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. The crisis of hunger is something that is faced worldwide. It doesn't matter where you come from, it affects us all. 1 in 7 struggle with access to proper food, and many of those are children. And unfortunately, with cuts made by DOGE as well as the big bill for billionaires, that lack of access may get worse. And while the fight seems daunting, it's one Jackie Anderson is up for. She's the executive director of Feeding Wisconsin, and she talked to Maggie Dawn about the programs they are working on and what effect hunger has on a community.
Very, very privileged and excited to speak with Jackie Anderson. She's the executive director for Feeding Wisconsin. Thanks so much for being here, Jackie. I know that it has been a trying few weeks for everyone that cares about everybody. I guess that's the way to put it. So I really appreciate you taking some time. You've worked in nonprofits for more than 25 years. You spent 2 decades with the US's YMCA. I grew up going to the Y. Thank you for that. I spent a lot of afternoons and summer days at the Y. So thank you for all that work. You're also the former director of Raising Wisconsin. You led advocacy efforts focused on investments in childcare and early childhood development and education. So thank you for that work as well. And now let's talk about food security in the state of Wisconsin. The basics, what is Feeding Wisconsin and what do you all do?
So Feeding Wisconsin is what's called the Partner State Association.
for Wisconsin, which basically means we provide advocacy support, advocacy and policy support to the six Feeding America food banks that are throughout the state. So that means they we're the ones out fighting for policies on the federal and on the local level. They certainly have their point in advocacy, but we really are the lead, kind of the conductor, if you will, making sure that everybody knows what to say to their representatives or their legislators, and you know, all the good things that comes with advocacy work.
In Wisconsin, we have a lot, tens of thousands of people who are food insecure. Help put some meat on the bones there. How many folks are we talking about? How dispersed across the state are they? Is this just a Milwaukee problem?
Yeah, no, it is absolutely not a Milwaukee problem. So if you're looking at the numbers, and the numbers that I'm rattle off are based on Feeding America's commissioned Map the Meal Gap. So they actually look at census numbers and come up with where we are as a state. And right now, there's about a 12% increase in food insecurity throughout the state, which means if we're going to actually look at like the numbers, so there's about 700,000 that are considered food insecure. That means it's about 1 in 8 adults. For kids, we're looking at about 1 in 6. So you know, that's the number of people who are food insecure. Again, it's if you don't know where your next meal is coming from. I also want to clarify that it is predominantly people who are working who are also considered food insecure. So I'm trying to break the stereotype that people who are using SNAP or what we call food share in our state are not people who are taking advantage of the system, but they're people who are working and cannot make ends meet because of inflation and a lot of other different things that are happening in our world right now.
It's pretty incredible to me that so many misconceptions about the people that find themselves in need have become so sort of like dogmatically pervasive in our political discourse. And that is simply not the case. I have had friends of mine growing up in Milwaukee that I went to school with that told me about some of their food insecurity. I have a number of friends that work in public schools, and they are going out of their own pocket to bring food into their classrooms to ensure that the kids there, and some of them hungry almost every day. Why is it that we can't get behind, you know, universal school lunches for every kid and breakfast? Like,
why?
What do you think? Yeah, I've never understood this. Like, of course we should just feed all the kids in our schools. That seems like such a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, and I think it's just, it's how our legislature wants to spend money. You know, I think we're actually making some progress in helping our legislators understand the importance of healthy school meals for all. And I think it's especially over the summer, right? I mean, we're looking at about 400,000 kids who we know have healthy meals during the school year. And then once summer hits, like their families are scrambling. So I think it's educating our legislators and our business leaders and our community members on the importance of if kids don't have healthy food, they can't learn. And those are our future employers of those businesses and future folks who are going to be contributing to our community. So, and that's not the only reason, of course, that we want them to be healthy and whole and feel like good about themselves. But, you know, it's an investment. And, you know, my life has been revolved around youth development for many, many years. Yes. So that's something I'm very passionate about. And you have to have healthy food if you're going to be thriving.
Tune in tomorrow as I will play another clip from Maggie's interview with Jackie Anderson. She is the executive director of Feeding Wisconsin. If you'd like to listen to the entirety of the interview, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for the Maggie Dawn Show and download it to your device. It's entitled Feeding Wisconsin and Fighting Hypocrisy. And that way you can listen to it whenever, wherever you want. Stick around because after the 7:30 news break, Pat's going to be welcoming Chad Trowbridge to talk about declining enrollment in the Chippewa Falls School District, as well as Jimmy Koska with sports and Western Wisconsin news. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUK Radio and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. It's 729.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Our state agencies in Wisconsin now have a clear vision on the monies that have been granted to them through the state budget. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. And that includes Randy Romanski, our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection Secretary. He said he's very, very happy to see the monies that the state's investing in things like food security programs, county conservation staff, and animal health professionals. Within the state budget, money was allotted to provide 3 staff positions at the Department of Agriculture's Division of Animal Health to support potential animal disease outbreak coordination as well as response. He said that's not something happening in every state.
They're feeling the pinch in that they're having to reduce the size of their agency. And I understand government efficiency. I think our agency is pretty darn efficient. And I think other states have the same thing. I have great respect for my colleagues in other states, and they are trying to be a resource for agriculture. But some of them are in really unique funding situations where they're having a hard time being a resource to their industry because they don't have the people or they don't have the programs. Or, you know, there's one state where they wanted to apply for a federal grant to do something for agriculture, and they couldn't do it because they couldn't administer the grant. And, you know, that's a tough spot to be in.
Randy Romanski, our Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Romanski says that the budget that was granted to his agency by the state legislature and Governor Tony Evers goes to show that they recognize the breadth and significance of Wisconsin's $116 billion agricultural economy.
65 years ago, Bob Steffes built a legacy, one auction at a time. Today, Steffes Group carries on that tradition, delivering trusted service with integrity you expect. From the first conversation to the final bid, we're more than an auction company. We're your partner in sharing your legacy, because here, handshakes still mean something. Visit steffesgroup.com right now for information on auctions in your area, nationwide, and to find a local representative near you. That's steffesgroup.com.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and, of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
And the application period's now open for 2025 Wisconsin Leopold Conservation Award nominees. Those are landowners that inspire others to consider conservation opportunities on their land. Go to sandcountyfoundation.org. and find the resources there. I'm Pam Yonke.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
It is going to be partly cloudy, hot, and humid today. Our high right around 92 this afternoon. The heat index 100 or better later today. Tonight, 77. Tomorrow, sunshine in the morning. Scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon. Still hot and muggy with a high of 92. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Matt Nair on air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
I got two special guest hosts tomorrow, and they'll be talking with Pete Schwabo of Nightlight and Jim Santel of Amicus, a law review. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
We must have done something right there in that last segment Tony puts up on YouTube. I might have to listen to more Black Sabbath from that description. Well, that wasn't me. That was the Associated Press. But
you put it so eloquently.
I read it in a convincing fashion.
Yeah, like a true radio man. You know how to read.
Yes, that's right. Left to right, top to bottom. I've got this all figured out. In today's homeroom segment, let's start with a report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum, a nonpartisan think tank, and their newest edition, their newest study, says Wisconsin education spending falls further behind the national average, noting that Wisconsin spent just shy of $15,000 per pupil on public elementary and secondary education in the 2022-2023 fiscal year, the most recent year for which the U.S. Census Bureau data is available. That was about 10% less than the national average of $16,500. When adjusted for inflation, Wisconsin pre-K-12 education spending per pupil has increased very slightly since 2002, just 2.5%. In 2002, Wisconsin spent about $14,000 per pupil in inflation-adjusted numbers, whereas the national average has gone up a little bit more than 2.5% since 2002. It's gone up 21% since then, as other states recognize the importance of educating our children rather than declaring war on education in our state. The Wisconsin Policy Forum report goes on to say this continues a long-running decline in our state's rank for per-pupil education spending, which back in 2002 was 11th. In the nation. Wisconsin ranked 7th out of 12 states in the Midwest in 2023, compared to 1st among Midwestern states back in 2002. When statewide education spending is measured as a share of all residents' combined personal incomes, Wisconsin also has been on a long-term decline. In the 2000s and early 2010s, Wisconsin spent a significantly larger share of personal income on education compared to the national average. This share declined to roughly match the nation for a period prior to the pandemic. In 2023, however, that share increased nationally but continued to decline in Wisconsin. And the intro ends with saying, these figures are the latest example of a decades-long shift in our state's investment in public education and state and local tax burden relative to its peers. Observing them is particularly timely, as state policymakers recently enacted the state's next two-year budget, of which K-12 education is the largest spending priority for the state. And that's as it should be. K-12 spending should be a high priority for the state. It still takes up a significant chunk of the budget, but much less so compared to the part of investment that was being made by other states. And when you get to the part about education spending as a percentage of combined personal income, that's what's called the tax burden. And the tax burden has gone down and down and down. And in the beginning, when it first started to decline, you could clearly hear politicians saying that that was a good thing in their book. And it has continued to fall to the point where if I were to say to you that funding education is no longer a significant tax burden, people, of course, would rightly say, well, that's crazy. Of course, it's a tax burden. Well, it's still the biggest part of the state budget. But in terms of it being a percentage of the taxes that you pay and as a percentage of the income that you get, the tax burden for our schools has gone down and down and down. And it has come with a price, with declining enrollment as students move into other schools, and in the loss of our best and brightest as our young people leave the state and go to raise their kids elsewhere, and as some of our educators leave the state in the wake of Act 10 in order to, again, pursue their career elsewhere. So the Wisconsin Policy Forum takes a very dispassionate look at the numbers and shows the degree to which, since Republicans took control of the legislature, we have made the education of our children less and less of a priority. That is eating your seed corn in a state like Wisconsin. And our original hope this segment was to talk to a business manager and a school board member about the impact of declining enrollment on state aid. And that's because it's very tempting to think, well, if enrollment goes down, well, then, yeah, state aid should go down as well, right? I mean, that only makes sense. It would seem on its face. But there are all kinds of fixed costs that stay fixed even if there's a decline in enrollment. If you've got 30 kids in the classroom and then it drops to 20 kids in the classroom, the electric bill for the lights in that classroom are still going to be the same. If the buses still have to take the same bus route, even if they're stopping at fewer houses along the way, the cost of gas to fill up that tank is going to stay the same. And so declining enrollment should not be accompanied by a one-to-one decline in state aid. And there are ways in the state budget where there are other little pools of money besides general state aid that help school districts with that. But none of this in total has kept up with inflation for 16 years. And it's why you see this parade of referendums around Wisconsin and why you're going to see them even after this new state budget. Because although it makes a significant increase in state aid to special education, which did take up a big chunk of all local school districts' budgets, but the zero increase in general aids means that in terms of inflation, school districts are going to continue to fall behind and are going to continue to have to go to referendum. Jimmy Koska is familiar with this particular phenomenon, being a school board member himself, and knows a thing or two about how many school districts have passed referendum over the past 4 years. Jimmy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I come on and I usually come here to talk sports, but yes, I do. I'm in my fourth year as a school board member in my district in southwestern Wisconsin. So spent a lot of time, looking at referendums. Our district passed one 2 years ago, which is actually just wrapping up work this summer. So we're one of 245 districts in the state out of the 421 that have passed a referendum in the past 4 years. And since they put in the revenue limits, 3 decades ago, over 90% of districts in Wisconsin have passed a referendum. And you think about that, and that's, nine out of it's every 10. There's a lot of districts in Wisconsin, 421 of them, of course. And then you think about schools that go to operational referendum, which are literally there to help pay the bills, pay expenses, keep the lights on, as you were talking about, the fixed costs, the things you can't, that can't go away. And when schools pass those, what they're saying is we have a perpetual hole in our budget that we can't fill with what we can bring in right now in our tax levies. So there are a lot of school districts that are working off of an operational referendum, which is, again, a perpetual hole in the budget, really due in part just to the fact that the funding system in Wisconsin for education has gotten so weird. So it is a very large number of districts in Wisconsin that have done referendum.
I like weird. Weird seems to be a good way to describe it. Could you describe when you were a new school board member, what it was like having to learn the way that education is paid for in the state, that it's not just a matter of, well, here go the property tax bills and here's how much we're going to get, and that it's a little bit more than that.
It felt kind of like sitting in, like, you ever see the, any crime show where they have the big board and they got, yes, the suspects all tacked up on the board and you got lines and yarn drawn from one point to, that's what it felt like for me anyway.
It does.
There's a lot. I spent time myself diving into it with WASB, which is the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, and then going to the State Education Convention to really take a deep dive into it and learn as much as I could about it, especially knowing that we were going to referendum. I wanted to understand it. Like, why is this a need? Why is this happening even where, like, where I live? And it's really complicated. There's a lot of things that go into it. I think one thing that you started talking about here in this segment, Pat, you were talking about kind of the tax burden, right? The tax burden in the Wisconsin policy form analysis has dropped. One thing that has also dropped and one that has changed is just in general, Wisconsin public support for, you know, whether they would fund education or would they rather see tax breaks. That flipped about 3 years ago in the Marquette University Law School poll. So there's also a public perception that people feel like they're being taxed too much. You know, property taxes, and it's not just schools. I mean, there's municipal, there's county, there's all the extra fees and things associated. So in a vacuum, yes, school funding, a lower tax burden, but you know, there's a lot of things going on beyond that. And we've seen our state legislature try to address not only education, but also municipal funding in the last state budget two years ago. There's so many moving parts to it. And then you have to figure it all, how it all comes out on your tax bill. And that's what we sit in a school board meeting and try to, you know, determine every year at an annual meeting. Like, what is our impact on our local tax base? What's the mill rate? You know, what happens if we do this? What if the if the referendum passes, what's the impact? How much of the referendum is part of what we're levying from local taxpayers? There's so many moving pieces. I can't even say I figured it out in 4 years, but I learned a lot about it and what actually goes all into it. And that's really helped me understand kind of why we're at and why. I've also, Pat, on a lot of these shows, talked about it as, hey, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in regards to how we fund education in Wisconsin.
And the thing is, this is something that has been discussed for decades, quite literally, and that some years back, I forget exactly how many years now, but during the Walker administration, there was a Blue Ribbon Commission that was formed, a bipartisan group, to come up with, you know, a better mousetrap. And the Blue Ribbon Commission, made up of Democrats and Republicans, did their best, put forward some proposals. And if you really want to see educators who work on this issue get steamed, it's that there's this notion that after all was said and done with this Blue Ribbon Commission, so very little of it has been put into place.
And the other thing that happened, and this is what I think has really been the greatest impact to education funding in Wisconsin, is it also in that span, decoupling the rise in per pupil aid from inflation has really made a big impact. If you look at any school referendum graphic, they invariably will show you just the gap, the widening gap of what, you know, if we hadn't decoupled from inflation, what school funding would be now compared to, you know, how it is because it was decoupled from that. So now, you know, state aid might not go up for a couple of years like it won't now. Like, there's the general aid doesn't change, right? So there's a graph that shows just the widening gap of where school funding would have been had, you know, the old system stayed in place during the Walker administration, right? So now that's the gap schools are trying to make up. And that's also kind of the gap you're seeing where in Wisconsin, where you see that the per pupil funding had it stayed on the old system coupled with, you know, tied to the inflationary measure, where we would still be where we were in the rankings, you know, 15 years ago with that. But instead, because it's been decoupled, now that per pupil education funding has really dropped off.
And by the way, that decoupling was done when Democrats were in control. I was one of those people that voted for it. And there was a reason why. The Great Recession had just started. And we were facing a $3 billion hole and said, you know, the money just isn't there to keep up with inflation this year. So let's take a pause this cycle. Republicans took control the next year and never hooked the train back up. And we have been falling behind inflation ever since. A local update is next for some of you. Others will stick around and Jimmy and I will continue our conversation here. And then we'll have much more in our 8 o'clock hour live from Madison today. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands.
This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In February of 2024, Governor Tony Evers signed new maps for the Wisconsin State Legislature into law, putting an end to one of the most extreme partisan gerrymanders anywhere in the country. While that was a momentous achievement for democracy in the state, that wasn't the end of the story. Since then, for more than a year, Fair Maps advocates and pro-democracy activists have been looking to take the next step and propose a new plan for independent redistricting in Wisconsin that would be here for the long haul. It's a compelling, well-constructed plan that would take the job of drawing maps away from the politicians who run for office on those very maps. In this new feature story, I take a closer look inside this citizen-led grassroots effort as it goes from the idea phase to being presented to the public. Because we absolutely need a long-term solution for redistricting reform in Wisconsin so we don't end up seeing either political party gerrymander Wisconsin's maps ever again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Joe Thomas grew up in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and had Hall of Fame football careers with the Badgers and Cleveland Browns. So what's his passion now? Well, join us Tuesday when Joe Thomas sits down with Brady Ewing and me for a special on-location show from Six Springs Farm, the home to Hall of Fame beef. Catching up with Joe Thomas Tuesday. You're not going to want to miss it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I am back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Here at Civic Media, we've got stations all over the state, and one of the crown jewels of this entire company is WRGN, located in Racine, and they are celebrating their 98th birthday. And one of the ways they keep the history of that station alive is by doing a regular program called the WRJN Historical Marker Series. Don Rosen sits down to have a conversation with those who used to work here, and in situations where we've lost those, their family members come in and tell stories about days gone by. And this time, you're going to hear from Tom Carco, the former WRJN news director, and David Marins, whose father was not only a program director at the station, but got to make a very special announcement while on the air.
And good morning. It is a special morning. We have our WRJN historical marker. This is where we look back at the history of WRJN and the people that made the history over the last 98 years. And this morning, we're going to be talking to a young man whose father announced his birth on this radio station. We're going to be talking about Lyman Marins. And here he is talking about the birth of our special guest, David Marins.
And yesterday morning at 8:46, even I didn't know it was 8:46. We got at the hospital at 8:35. A boy was born to Mr. and Mrs. Lyman Marins of 2901 Ashland Avenue. A little boy, 6 pounds, 7 ounces.
Come on in, George. Have a cigar. Bill, come on in, boys. Have a cigar. Let's open this fresh new box of stogies, hmm? Come on in, boy. Have a cigar.
Well, thank you.
On behalf of David Mark. George, come on in, George. All right, give one to George. George can't leave his controls. Shirley, come on in. Here's a box of candy. To all the new parents from the Block Furniture Company, including me, we extend congratulations and best wishes. Join us again tomorrow morning every day, Monday through Saturday at 7:40, when the Block Furniture Company, 419 Main Street, again presents The Little Red Book.
And that is our guest being born. That is something. I can't remember the last time I had a guest on the radio. We actually had his birth. Hey, David Marins is here calling for talking to you from Tennessee this morning. And thanks for joining us. I do appreciate it, David.
Well, thanks for having me. And I didn't know you were going to do that.
Neither did I. That was a surprise from our other guest in here, Tom Carco, former news director of WRGN for years. And he's going to talk about, he knows more about your father. We got a picture of your father staring me right in the face right now. And where'd you find
it? Oh, wow.
Where'd you get that, Tom?
Well, I've had that. Well, actually, David, I believe, gave that to me. Thank you, David. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Tom. How about you?
Very good. Very good. We should let everybody know that I worked here from 1979 to 2018 for 39 years, and I'm kind of the historian now of the station. I have a lot of stuff reference the history of this radio station, part of it thanks to David and other things that I've acquired. So that's why I'm in here talking about stuff that's happened in the past.
You get that emeritus title now.
Yeah. There's nothing else.
Emeritus. All right, so, David, let's talk about your father. Was this the first station he worked at? Do you know?
No, it wasn't, actually. After he graduated from high school in Chicago, and before he entered radio, he worked as a bookkeeper at the Chicago Stockyards for Armoring Company back then, to earn money so that he could go to business school and broadcasting school. He always had an interest in broadcasting, and I think back then his big desire was to be the sportscaster on WGN Radio in Chicago. Of course, you got to have some experience to do that job, but he did apply there. And what's interesting about that is he actually started in radio at WHBY in Appleton, Wisconsin. And he was actually referred to WHBY by WGN. So I thought that was a kind of an interesting thing. And so that's where he started. He came to Racine in 1944 to work as a staff announcer at WRGN. And then he became the program director in 1946.
Why did he come to WRJN? There's a little bit of a story there.
Yeah, well, I guess when he started, he told me about it a long time ago. I still remember it. When he started at WHBY, they couldn't pay him a lot, and I think they promised him a raise maybe after he would be there for about a year. Well, the year came, and they couldn't afford to give him a raise, so they said they wouldn't blame him if he decided to look elsewhere, and they said they would give him a glowing recommendation and everything, which they did. And I guess he moved to Racine to get about another maybe $5 a week back then. I think he was making maybe $35 or $40 a week back then, he told me. And he lived at the YMCA on the lake in Racine. For a number of years.
That's gone.
That building is now gone, Dave.
Yeah, I noticed. Yeah, I was up there recently when I saw you, and I noticed that. it was come down. My dad always said the three sure things in life are death, taxes, and change.
Yeah. So this is, he comes to WRJN, which is located at the time on the third floor of the American Bank Building downtown, which is now the Racine Art Museum for everybody who's listening. And So eventually, of course, he transitions out to the current location of Victory Avenue Radio Park.
So he
gets this job, and it's really not long after, basically a year later, he gets to do something very important on the air, and it has to do with the former president.
Yeah, Franklin Roosevelt passed away. He got to announce that to the city of Racine, but there's a funny story behind that.
Want to hear the rest of that story? Well, go to civicmedia.us/shows. There you'll find the Don Rosen Show, and you can download that episode directly to your device. It's called WRJN Historical Marker Number 13, Lyman Marins. That way you can listen to it whenever, wherever you'd like. You've been listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. President Trump says he's reached a deal with Japan that calls for a 15% tariffs in exports to the U.S.
It's a great deal for everybody.
Japan will open its country to American cars, trucks, and rice. The man who pleaded guilty to stabbing four University of Idaho students to death will be in court for a sentencing hearing today. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is in Boise.
Brian Koberger will spend life in prison without parole under a plea deal that some family members of the victims have called a miscarriage of justice. One question that may never be answered: what was Koberger's motive for murdering the four college students in Moscow, Idaho?
Fans paying tribute to the Prince of Darkness, Ozzy Osbourne, who died yesterday at the age of 76. This woman visited the Black